Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Burning Hearts, using scripture to draw us into a deeply intimate conversation with the Lord. Rachel asks us to consider two questions. What is God saying to us? And what are we doing about it?
Hello, friends, and welcome back to Burning Hearts with me, Rachel Herbeck. Another week together. If you were with us last week, I'm still honestly kind of buzzing off of last week. I've still been reading the readings that we went through together and spending time in the scriptures, because as we've been progressing, and if you have continued to read, we're still kind of in the context in the readings of the church that we talked about last week. So those of you who weren't with us, we went through the readings in Acts that were present to us in the week after Easter in the Mass. And so we went through Pentecost, we went through Peter's preaching, we went through the miracle of Peter and John healing the lame man. And it was such an awesome week, just coming off of the heels of Easter, still being in the Easter season. And I don't know about you, but I've just been praying and reflecting so much, especially in the season of what are the signs of resurrected life. We talked about that a lot that last week. So I encourage you to go back and listen. You can go on Apple Podcasts or Spotify and listen to last week's shows just about living a resurrected life. And so we're continuing on that vein, because really everything that we see Jesus preaching, everything that we see in the scriptures is about living that resurrected life in the power of the Spirit. And so I want to take up today and throughout this entire week a really famous set of passages. And this came up in our young adult Bible study that we do a while ago. We're studying the Gospel of John, and going through John chapter 3 really hit me again and again and again. And it's one of those passages and one of those sets of passages that I've read kind of every other week, and I've started using it in my preaching. And the reason I want to go through it is because I think John chapter 3, it's so famous because of John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him may not perish but have eternal life. And we know that verse. It's the famous football verse. It's held up at football games. It's kind of the center of the gospel. But what's often left out is the passages before and the passages after. And I want to give a little bit of context before we pray here, and before I'm going to read some sections of the scriptures and we're going to dive into it. But Jesus is meeting with Nicodemus here, a teacher of Israel, and Nicodemus is asking, really, Jesus, who are you? And this is the context in which we see Jesus preaching the kingdom. He's giving the fullness of the gospel to one of the teachers of Israel. And I think there's a lot that we can learn from the way Jesus delivers the fullness of the gospel. And as we read the gospel again and again and again, we continue to be transformed. So let's pray, and we'll go ahead and read, and we'll see what the Holy Spirit has to say to us. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord Jesus, we thank you for another week to be together, to read your word, to be fed by you, to be drawn into deeper relationship with you, the only Son of God, the only one through which we have life. We worship you. We praise you. We ask that you would come and bring today in our hearts the joy of the resurrected King, that we would live a resurrected life, that we would walk with you, that we would talk with you, that we would see you in our days today, and that you would stir up the gift of God that is within us so we can receive the power of this word in John chapter 3. We ask all of this in your most holy name. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we are going to begin here in John chapter 3. And if I'm not mistaken, you know, this is very early on in the gospel, right? And so John chapter 1, just a little context, John chapter 1 is the word became flesh and the heralding of the kingdom. And so it's that beautiful prologue of the world became flesh and dwelt among us. And then, you know, John making the way for Jesus. And then we have in John chapter 2, the wedding at Cana. And then John chapter 3, the title is Nicodemus visits Jesus. And so Nicodemus, a teacher of Israel, comes and visits Jesus. And so that's so far is what we have happening in the gospel. So Jesus hasn't raised Lazarus from the dead yet. He hasn't healed any blind men, any lame men. Like, so far, all that's happened is the wedding at Cana and the proclamation of the gospel and Jesus's preaching. So I'm going to read 1 through 15. It's going to be kind of a big chunk. Don't worry, we're going to get to John 3:16, but we're going to read this and then kind of break it down over the next couple days. And then I think later in the week, we'll get to John 3:16. So if you have your Bibles, you can open to John chapter 3. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these things that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born anew, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born anew. The wind blows where it wills, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know whence it comes or whether it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can this be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand this? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven but he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life." I know that's a big chunk of scripture. That's a lot of verses. But remember, we're trying to eat more and more spiritual meat. We're trying to take bigger bites. And so there's something, friends, that when we read a large passage of scripture, even if we kind of get lost in it, even if we're kind of like, whoa, that was a lot of verses, or I don't know, or you lost me at verse 3 or whatever it was, it's a good practice for us to read. So let's start from the beginning. It says, there is a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. And so the first sentence tells us how important Nicodemus is. We're going to see Nicodemus again later in the Gospels and even in the book of Acts, we'll see him. But the Pharisees, right? We hear about the Pharisees. The Pharisees are a religious class. And so Nicodemus, he's not only just a rabbi, he's an important rabbi. And he's actually so important. It says he's a ruler of the Jews. He has power over the Jews. And so the first sentence is telling us a man of power comes to see Jesus. There was a man of power, a man of the Pharisees, those who were after Jesus. One of those men comes to see Jesus, a man of the law, a learned man, a ruler of the Jews. And continues on, this man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." A couple things, even just about this second verse here. So this important man, this man with power, this man that the Jews look to, a ruler over the Jews, part of a person that's part of the class that is going to be after Jesus, that's going to try to get him, that's going to want to arrest him and put him to death. An important religious man comes to Jesus, and first he comes to him by night. And so we see for Nicodemus, there's some risk in coming. He's not just out in the open being like, "Oh, who's Jesus?" There's a risk in coming. There's a risk in going to find him. And we see in this risk, why would there, if Jesus is no one, if Jesus is just a prophet, if Jesus is just a teacher, if Jesus just helps us with our lifestyle, why would there be a risk? But when we follow Jesus, when we come to him, friends, there is a risk involved. It's a good risk. It's an amazing risk. Everything worth anything is a risk. This man came to Jesus by night for fear of the Jews. He couldn't get caught seeing Jesus speaking to him. And he said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God." At the core of what Nicodemus is coming for. And I don't know if has anyone seen the Chosen episode of this, but I think they do such a good job. And Nicodemus meets with Jesus in the night on the rooftop. And remember, Nicodemus is a teacher of the law. He spent his whole life studying, when will the Messiah come? He's an older man. It's not like he's like 20. He spends his whole life studying, when will the Messiah come, waiting for this man? And he comes to see the works that Jesus does, right? Because he says, no one can do these things. So far, all that's happened is he's heard about the wedding at Cana. The Pharisees weren't at the wedding at Cana. He's heard about the miracle of turning water into wine, and he's heard the preaching of Jesus. And just through the proclamation of the kingdom and the miracle of the wedding at Cana, he says, no one can do these things unless they come from God. There's something about this man. There's something magnetic about him. There's something that's so powerful about him. And so he takes a risk. He comes to him by night, and this powerful religious man who's been waiting for the Messiah all of his life, essentially what Nicodemus is asking Jesus is, who are you? Who are you? Friends, this is the central question. It's the central question that every apostle reckons with, that everyone who encounters Jesus reckons with, whether it's Pilate, whether it's Herod, whether it's those who end up following him. They encounter him, they see his face, they hear his preaching, and deep in the depths of their heart, this question wells up, who is this man? Who is he? And this image of Nicodemus has been waiting for the one. That's Jewish code for the Messiah. Could he be the one? This is the question at the heart of Nicodemus. A powerful Jewish ruler takes a risk and in the night comes to Jesus. And in his heart, he brings Jesus the question of his heart. Could you be the one? Not only do you make the most sense, not are you only teaching good things, not what do other people think about you, but could you be the one? Friends, I think so often in our own lives, we lose track of this question. As I'm thinking of Nicodemus, I'm thinking even of my own mom. I've mentioned this in her story of she watched the Jesus of Nazareth movie, that one where he doesn't blink ever. My mom grew up Jewish in a very prominent Jewish family. And she saw that Jesus of Nazareth movie, and through seeing a Hollywood depiction of Jesus, she watched him on the screen and she asked herself in a college dorm room at University of Michigan, could he be the one? She went back to her room. She went down the hallway in the middle of the night to her friend Sarah's room, who was a Christian. She knocked on the door, and her friend Sarah opened the door a crack and held out her Bible. And my own mother began to read the scriptures, began to read about this man, Jesus, in the night. She took a risk because she was dealing with the fundamental question. And even for those of us who believe, we have to deal with this fundamental question every day. We have to present this question. I was just having a conversation with someone the other night, even just over text, talking about Jesus, talking about, is he divine? Is he not divine? And I said, this is an important central question. And so many people in the world, friends, are going through their lives numb, never dealing with the central question of who is the person of Jesus? Is he the one? Has he come to save us? Has he come to give us everything? And I love the beautiful witness of Nicodemus meets in the night, risks everything and encounters him. And he says, who are you? Ask him today. Even if you think you already know, meet with him and ask him today, who are you? And bring that question to someone who does not know him. Thank you for joining us, friends. Join us again tomorrow as we pick back up in this passage. God bless.
Burning Hearts is hosted by Rachel Herbeck, the Director of Young Adult Discipleship for Renewal Ministries. Each program can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and at RenewalMinistries.net. Burning Hearts is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Throughout the scriptures, Jesus' teaching on the conditions for salvation are consistent, urgent, and often very challenging. Friends, I'd like to offer you my friend Pete Burek's new booklet, What Must I Do to Be Saved? This booklet unpacks several gospel passages to help us find and stay on the narrow way. To get your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/burninghearts. That's renewalministries.net/burninghearts.